Okay, everyone's muted and this call is being recorded. Today is Wednesday, May 23rd, 2012, and it's Royce Ledbetter hosting the Pinnacle Conference call, and our guest speaker today is going to be Adam Yetter. Now, we all have heard of Adam Yetter before, and we all know he is Mr. Consistent, and we've heard him talk, but I don't think we've heard him exactly talk to the group in the subject that he's going to talk about today. So, Adam, you can go ahead and unmute yourself. I want to give a little introduction of what we're going to do. Okay, Adam. What we're going to talk about is something that Adam has sat down and talked with me and maybe a few of you before, but I don't believe he's ever had a chance to kind of publicly go, and that is the decision. We can all kind of decide what to do with our business. We can decide to be successful or unsuccessful. We can decide to be consistent or not. And Adam has obviously made the decision to treat his business like his own. He is over 30 weeks now on a string, which makes him a legend or a Hall of Famer. So I don't want to take any of his jazz away. I'm going to let him kind of introduce and start talking a little bit, and we'll have some questions and answers at the end. So, Adam, without further ado, Mr. Consistent, let's talk about the decision.
Sure, man. So, okay, here I go. So, it's been 31 weeks, so I'm on a string. It's funny because I've listened to David Villasenor talk about the decision. In fact, there's probably some David Villasenor material on the website, Family Heritage website. If anybody's interested, you can hop on there and download speeches that he's given at previous national sales meetings. It seems like every time we do a national sales meeting, David Villasenor is up on the stage talking about the decision to be on a string. And I've heard him talk about it a lot, and it's a lot of what he talked about kind of was over my head until I've made the decision to be on a string myself. So, if any of the stuff that I cover, it doesn't make sense or doesn't really hit home, feel free to pull me aside at the next train more or shoot me an email or call me, one-on-one. I can give my phone number out and we can talk more in detail about, your particular situation and all that stuff. But I can just speak from my own experience and my own situation. The decision to be on a string is just that. It's just a decision. And Larry Salerno has always told me that a decision can happen just like that. Just in a split second, someone can make a decision. Obviously, if that decision is not followed up with action, then it doesn't really mean much. But someone's life can change just by making a simple decision, which can happen in a split second. And that can happen to all of you on the call, too. So I'll tell you why I made the decision to be consistent and to get onto a string. The first reason was that Larry told me to. That's probably the biggest reason is that I trust Larry a lot, and I know that he has my best interests at heart. And Larry's always told me that you don't have to be the best to be the best in this business. You just have to be consistent. And so I knew that obviously I trusted his opinion and the advice that he was giving me. So I didn't exactly know why that was important at first. I just knew that Larry said it was important, so I thought it was important too. I think what really clicked for me when I started, building a team and I had people that, I brought into the business, I think that's really when I made the serious decision to get on a string. And the reason was pretty simple. I wasn't going to ask somebody to do what I wasn't willing to do myself. So, let me talk for just a second about why it's important to be consistent. I know we all hear that a lot. But I have kind of my own opinion on why being consistent is so important in this business. And I'm sort of analytical, so I might toss some numbers out, and it might get a little bit mathy. But anybody that's talked to me about just about anything will know that I tend to get mathy when I talk. So anyway, when you put a calculator to it, when you calculate how much money we make from going out and selling insurance, obviously that's why – ultimately that's why we all do what we do. Obviously we like to protect families and help people, but, it's not a charity either. We all have bills to pay, and we all have a living to make. So, when you calculate how much money you make per application that you sell or per week that you work, the advance that we make on our commissions is really just a fraction of our actual earnings. I was talking to Sean Linder about this yesterday. When you look at just a basic 30-and-2 contract, for every dollar that you make in advance, you make another $2 down the road. So really, for every dollar that you see in your advance, you've really earned $3 total. Now, one of those dollars you'll see on Friday, and then the other two you're not going to see for a few years. But that doesn't mean you haven't already generated that income. You know, that's based on average persistency of 9.5 years. So obviously it depends case to case on your AT ratio and all that kind of stuff. But the point I'm making is that the money that we see on Friday is just a fraction of the money that we actually generate for ourselves and our family when we work. The key to getting all of that income, though, is to be vested in the renewals, because most of that income is generated through, actually about half of our income is generated through renewals. But, you know, if we work for a year and a half at this and then go find something else to do for a living, we don't end up getting vested into anything. You know, obviously we're 50% vested after 2 years, but the only way to really get 100% of those renewals is to work for 5 years at this. And I think that right there is the key as to why it's important to be consistent. I think when you really wrap your mind around the fact that this isn't a job that you just go out and do for 3 months or 6 months, or you have a great month where you have 4 weeks in a row that you're on fire, I mean, that's great. I think it's important to be able to write a ton of business in a week. Those things are awesome. You know, you'll see a big bump in your income. You'll make $4,000, $5,000 in a week, which is awesome. But you can't live on $4,000 or $5,000 for 5 years. You've got to be able to consistently make money at this to be able to make it to 5 years. And I've had people that have been really close friends of mine that used to work with Family Heritage that don't anymore, and they've quit. And they quit before they were fully vested into their renewals. And to me, that's nonsense. That's just silly. I mean, when you put a calculator to it, it just makes no sense at all. For me to have someone come in and work hard at this. It's a tough business to learn it, to get good at it. You know, it's hot outside. People get rude sometimes. We just go through a lot of stuff to, you know, to make just the advance checks, basically. That's just not worth it to me. And now if you triple the money that we're making on our advance, okay, now we're talking. That's something I think is worth it. It's a really neat opportunity when you consider the renewals and the total money you earn. But I think the reason that these friends of mine, you know, quit working with Family Heritage, it wasn't that they didn't like knocking on doors necessarily. It wasn't that they didn't think that our product was important anymore, or they lost conviction or anything like that. I really think that they just made this job more difficult than it really needed to be. You know, these friends in particular, without getting into names, they were notorious for going out and working on train mores and writing a bunch of business on train mores, and then basically just taking it easy for a week or two after that. And logically, you'd think that if you write 750 units on a train more and then take 2 weeks off, that's the same thing as somebody writing 250 on a train more, 250 the week next, and then 250 the week after that. It ends up being 750 units either way you slice it. And so it's easy to trick ourselves into thinking that that's the same, but emotionally, it's totally different. That'd be like trying to run a marathon by running a 100-yard sprint and then laying down and taking, you know, a 10-minute nap, and then getting up and running a 100-yard sprint, and then laying down and taking a 10-minute nap. You're not going to be able to finish a marathon that way. It's just you're going to eventually lay down to take that nap, and then 10 minutes is going to turn into a half an hour, and then a half hour is going to turn into 2 hour, and then you're just not going to feel like getting up, and you're just going to quit the marathon. And I really think that that's what's happened to a couple of the people that I've worked with, or friends of mine, I guess, that have worked in the business in the past. So logically, that's why I think it's important to be consistent, is because that's the only way to consistently go in and do this day in and day out and turn it into a lifestyle. That's the only possible way that I think that I can personally do this job for 5 years to get vested into renewals, you know, without going nuts. And if you look at Kimberly Thomas or Jonathan Thurman or Ed Pennington, the people that have already been vested into their renewals that work with Pinnacle, they're the models of consistency. You know, Jonathan Thurman, I mean, all of them. They turned this into a lifestyle, and, you know, Jonathan Thurman, I think, has written 25, 30 Eagles, maybe, in like 5 or 6 years that he's been working at this job. So that's, I think you can tell that he's not necessarily one that's going to focus on just writing a ton of business at a time and then just taking time off. You know, he's a great example of just being consistent, and he's made it to where he's 100% vested into renewals. So if he passes away, his wife gets all that money, and if she dies too, it goes to their son. It's a really, really neat thing to say that you've earned that. So that's why I think it's so important to be consistent. That's the first thing I wanted to talk about. So, Royce, I'm going to let you jump in and take a breath.
Adam, that kind of covers the my big first question was, you know, the word clicked. We use that a lot. Something clicked. And, you know, what clicked? was talking to Nate last week, and it seemed like something clicked for him because he's riding an Eagle and he's riding a green eye down in 2 days. And you kind of answered, I think, that question. And what clicked is that I can't survive this emotional roller coaster. I can't survive this up, this down, this big, like that. My next big question for you is kind of a two-part, but how do you stay honest to yourself? And if not yourself, who do you hold yourself accountable to? So when I say honest to yourself, I feel like a lot of times, I know I do it, and anyone out there I'm sure is guilty, you tell yourself some kind of excuse and you believe it, like, you know, man, it's raining today, I just can't do it, or, you know, I've already was just out of town for the train more week, and now I'm working until 10 o'clock every night, man, my wife's going to kill me. You know, you make some excuse. So how do you truly stay honest to yourself?
That's a really good question. I was just thinking about what I'm going to say to that. Well, I think that, first of all, we got to understand that, you know, somebody's always watching us. Somebody's always watching what we're doing. And, you know, I think that, like I said, the decision that I made to become, you know, more consistent and to get onto a string had a lot to do with you know, building a team and working with people like you and you, Royce, and Mike Behera and Francine Antonowski and Nate Douglas and all these guys on my team, because I knew what was best for them was to consistently green out every week. That was what was going to give them the best chance to be successful and get what they wanted out of this business. But I knew that I couldn't ask them to green out every week if I wasn't willing to go out and do that myself. And so I know that that people on my team pay attention to what I'm doing. They may not pay attention to what I'm doing day to day necessarily, but they see my results. Our results get published in those weekly flyers that go out, and people read those flyers. You know, you can very clearly look at somebody at, you know, look at the number of greenouts that they have in the quarter, and you can kind of tell whether or not they've been selling or not. It's not, you know, a secret. We can't really hide behind anything. Our results are out there in public, you know, and so you can't go out and say, well, I was working, but I didn't green out this week. Yeah, that's maybe if you're in your first 4, 6, 8 weeks in the business, that might fly. But if you've been doing this job for a year or two, that's just not the case. Everyone knows it. It just means that you just weren't working that week. And so I think that the biggest thing is that I hold myself accountable to people on my team. That's probably the biggest one. Obviously, I've had a lot of help with being held accountable by Larry and John and other guys that work with me and, you know, try to lead from the front themselves. But I think that the biggest change for me happened when I had people that were looking at me as trying to find a model of how to be successful at this. You know, because if I'm saying one thing and I'm doing another, I'm pretty sure that, well, if it was me, I would pay more attention to what somebody was doing than what somebody was saying. And so, you know, if I expect people on my team to green out every week, I've got to go out and do it myself. Because otherwise, I don't see how people on my team would think that that's very important if I'm not doing it myself. To me, that just doesn't make sense. And I really, 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 really want the best for everyone that works with me. I really have a heart for making sure that the people that work with me, and I can't necessarily do it for them, but I want them to at least have a clear picture of what it takes to do well at this. And if that means going out and greening out every week to give them that clear picture, that's what I need to do. And so, you know, there may be days that now look, hey, I'm on a 30-something week string. Don't get me wrong, Royce. There's been days that I've not necessarily always hit my daily goals or gone out and done the activities that I should on one day or another. But you know, the week is 7 days. You've got 7 days in a week, and there's, gosh, 90, 100 hours that you could potentially work in a week. It's, if you can't find 45 hours to go out and go do the right activities to green out, it's not, there's really no excuse. I mean, there's always time that you can go out and sell. It just comes down to a decision. It's just a simple decision that you make. But you know, at the same time, I also know that we make decisions mostly emotionally. I think that especially with people that are on this call that don't necessarily have teams that are looking up to them. You know, when I first started my first 3-6 months in this business, I made a lot of decisions really emotionally, not really based on logic necessarily. I mean, I knew it was best for me to green out every week, But I just, sometimes I just didn't feel like it. And so, you know, what it takes is making a decision to get onto a string. And then once you've made that decision to get onto a string, you just follow it up with very small decisions. So each day you just make small individual decisions to wake up by 8 o'clock, to get out of the house by 9. Those little small decisions over time, they build momentum. And I want to give Nate Douglas some recognition real quick. Nate has been making all those little small decisions since he very first started. I mean, he has been working from 9 till 8, Monday through Friday. The fact that he hasn't had the results means that he hasn't yet had the recognition for all of his work. But let me tell you, that guy has been winning a lot of small personal battles week in and week out, and he has built a lot of momentum, and this is 100% a momentum business. And so he rode an eagle last week for the first time. He's greened out by Tuesday this week. But don't think that there's something new that he's doing. And Nate would probably tell you he's not doing anything different. You know, it's a momentum thing. It's all those individual decisions that you've made over time that have just turned into a habit. And that's what I think is, I want to talk real quick about the benefits of being on a string, the benefits of having a 30-week string or something like that. And it kind of ties into what you were asking, Royce. The way that I'm accountable now is a little bit different than how I was accountable at 5 or 6 weeks. When I was 5 or 6 weeks into a string, I still had my team to look to and myself to hold myself accountable. But now that I'm on a 31-week string, it's going to be basically published in a weekly flyer whenever I break the string. It's not going to be something I can just kind of hide under a rock and nobody will notice that I didn't green out this week. Everybody will just be like, oh, yeah. You know, Adam does great, and we didn't even notice that he didn't green out last week. That's like impossible. You know, the next time that I don't green out, everyone's going to know. And so that really helps me hold accountable now. So I would challenge anybody on the call to get down to a 10-week string, just a 10-week string. It only takes – that's basically 2 train mores and then a couple of weeks in between. Get onto a 10-week string. Once you're on a 10-week string, you'll feel that pride, that personal sense of accomplishment, and you won't want to come off. And that really helps propel you and really helps you hold yourself accountable to the goals that you set, because you know that if you break it just 1 week, you go all the way back to zero. And you definitely don't want to do that after you've, you know, had a 10-week string. But the benefits of doing that are a couple of things. I think the biggest benefit of being on a string, and it's hard to describe this without actually being there, because I've heard David Villasenor talk about this in the past. And again, it didn't really hit home, I guess, until I was on the string myself. I think the biggest benefit is that there's not any worry. There's not any anxiety. It's almost like you're free to enjoy your job. You're not worried about money as much. You're not worried about what if I don't produce. You're not worried about what if I go out and sell but I don't sell anything. You know, once you've done it consistently for, you know, 20 weeks, 25 weeks in a row, it's emotionally even. I mean, logically, obviously, we all understand that if we go out and work 40, 50 hours, that we'll green out. Logically, we all know that. But again, emotionally, it's different. I think that I hope everyone on this call can connect with me when I say that emotionally, sometimes this job can get tough. It's easy to worry, and we have anxiety, and that doesn't help us sell, obviously, when we're worried. In fact, a lot of times, just worrying about what might happen might even keep us from working at all, if you're anything like me. So, man, when you have no worries and no anxieties about whether or not you're going to sell or not, and you really, you know, your income's been consistent. So, you know, you've got all your bills paid and everything's fine and life is just gravy. It makes it so much easier to go out and work on a day-to-day basis. It almost makes it to where you can enjoy what you do. I mean, think about that. If you could literally say that you enjoy knocking on doors, calling people up to set up appointments with referrals, like you genuinely enjoy it, I think that a lot of us can say that to some extent, but not really 100%. And I really think that 99% enjoy my day-to-day activity of selling insurance. And I think that a big reason is that I've done it consistently for the last 30 weeks. I'm not worried about it anymore. I just have to go out and do my job and you know, good things will happen to me. So I think that's the biggest benefit is if you want to develop a career where you really enjoy what you do day-to-day, you got to do it consistently. Because otherwise, if you're anything like me, you'll be all up in your head and worried and kind of anxious and It's just not any fun, you know. No matter what you're doing for a living, it's not a lot of fun to be worried and anxious and stressed out, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So, anyway.
All right. Well, Adam, so I guess to recap, it's
maybe a little hard decision to make it happen, but once it starts happening, it makes the whole job easier and more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
Please recap. Okay. Well,
absolutely.
Absolutely. So I want to open up, give anyone some chance to ask a couple quick questions. To unmute your phone, hit *6, and then you will be able to ask Adam the other questions. Anybody? Adam, did I give the right directions? Unmute your phone.
I think it's, yeah, *6, that's what you said.
Yeah, *6.
Yeah, it's *6.
All right. If anyone wants to hit *6 and ask a question, go for it. If not, we're going to wrap it up. And
let me get my phone number out real quick. If anybody has any questions that are a little bit more personal in nature, you can call me. We can talk one-on-one. My phone number is 512-659-1579. I'll give it out one more time. 512-659-1579. So there you go.
Okay.
Hey,
well, there you guys. I'm gonna go ahead and
hang on, Royce. Hang on, Royce. I heard somebody.
Hey, Adam. It's Sean.
Hey, Sean.
I know me and you talked about it, but you know, maybe for the benefit of everybody or me just hearing it again, I know I talked to you about one of my main goals is to build up a good amount of referrals and really start, you know, turn it into more of a referral based system.
Mm-hmm.
Would you kind of go into that and why that would, you know, why that's probably a really good, you know, key factor in, you know, getting on a string and staying on a string?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And working referrals is, I'd say probably 70% of my business comes from referrals. I mean, working referrals is what's let me, you know, green out in a lot of times in 3 or 4 days during the string. And let me tell you, you know, when you're on a 16-week string and you hit that green out by Wednesday and you're able to take the rest of the week off just to rest and recover and kind of recharge your batteries, man, it makes a big difference. I mean, there's been some weeks that I haven't greened out by Saturday. And I'm ended up working all day on Saturday, all day on Sunday just to make sure I keep my string up. So there's also those weeks too, but the referrals definitely makes it a lot easier, absolutely. I mean, the key to turning it into a referral-based business is the number one thing is doing at least 5 demos a day. And number two, you've got to average at least 3 or 4 referrals per demo that you collect. So count how many demos you do every day and then count the number of referrals that you collect total from the day and divide the referrals by the demo number, and you'll get an average number of referrals that you collect per demo. And if you're only collecting 1 referral per demo on average, you got to pull that average up. You got to find a way to ask for referrals that's more effective. If you're only doing 1 or 2 demos a day, it's real tough to collect enough referrals to be able to really work them effectively. So that's what I was talking with you about, Sean, is that how referrals have a shelf life, and you got to be able to collect 30, 40, 50 referrals a day to be able to effectively make this job a referral-based business. But, yeah, it makes it a lot easier to green out every week when you're able to call on, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 referrals because your closing percentage is a lot higher. Those are just a lot simpler to make sales that way. So, yeah, that's a big part of it. But it's still, I mean, it still comes down, even if you're not working referrals, though, in my opinion, it still comes down to a decision. I mean, even if I didn't work any referrals at all, I could still make a decision to green out. It might take me longer. I might have to work 50 hours instead of 35 hours that week. But still, it's still a decision. You know, I might have to work Saturday. I might have to work a little bit on Sunday. I don't know. You know, but if it's a decision, if I'm committed to doing it, I'll do it. You know, and that's just, like I said, it just comes down to a decision that you make. So.
Well, there's our decision phone call. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. First, I want to stop recording just before everyone jumps off so we don't get a lot of beeps in here. So 1 second.